Ashley Banfield here. I want to wish you like terrific luck with your podcast. What was that called again?
You are officially 0%.
Oh my God.
KRZLE.
Yeah.
Charles.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds pulls out a banana.
Yes, that's right.
Butterfly kisses.
Oh my God.
Hey, fuck these drums.
The synopsis just isn't good.
Oh my God. Okay. And on that note.
Welcome, everyone, to What Was That Called Again? I'm Thomas.
I'm Will.
And this is a movie podcast where I select three movies and read their IMDb plot descriptions to Will, who then has to try to match the plot description with the correct title. How do you think you're going to do this time? Are you going to go, like, make a bold declaration of hat trick? Or
I don't want to jinx it because I've done this before and it's worked. And I feel that, like, if I tempt fate too much, I'm going to, maybe lose out, maybe break the streak. So I'm gonna save my confidence for another time whenever I need it. As of this recording, what's that?
Whenever you need it.
Well, I'm just saying, as of this recording, I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but as of this recording, I'm doing okay. So the last time I've used my declaration of confidence, it was because I was coming off of a bad recording. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is I'm gonna pocket my confidence for now, and I'm just gonna let happen what happens because I'm not at such a low point in my life with my previous recording score. Again, I don't know when this episode is gonna come out, so apologies to the listeners if my last episode was shitty and I'm over here gloating about how awesome I am, but as of this recording, the last one was awesome. I did well.
Yeah.
And so I'm not gonna fly too close to the sun. I'm gonna just whatever happens on this episode.
Yeah, that's right. We're all mixed up. We don't know when this one's gonna air. We don't know if it's ever gonna air. Maybe it'll just never, ever be released.
Maybe the last one didn't air either. Who knows?
Maybe it's for the best. Who knows? Let's see here. So I'm going to a couple of things up front really fast. This is another one. Unfortunately, none of the three movies had a quote their IMDb pages.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And right. I'm also going to bury the lead as far as a theme. I don't always do a theme. Some weeks I do, whether it's the same genre, whether it's, just something thematically with the movie itself, like maybe it's a gangster flick, whatever it is. This week, I will go ahead and say up front, these all three are from the same filmmaker. The same Ooh. Director did all three of these.
Okay.
And it is interesting to see. I have not seen any of these three movies.
Unseen, yes. All from the same filmmaker.
Yes.
And also no quotes. We can't have quote time this episode. Okay.
Yes. And these are also all three from Spain. These are Spanish films.
Oh, okay. You're giving me a lot of information up front. This could be almost maybe too helpful. I don't know.
I don't know how any of this information would be helpful.
You don't know anything
matching
about
up
how my brain works
with the titles.
You don't know how my brain works at all.
So I'm like, oh, if this one was from Germany, then it would go with that title. Right. But these are all three Spanish.
Well, but now I know that I have to say the title in a Spanish accent.
Oh God, yeah, that won't be problematic.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think I'm ready. I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Just to remind our audience that these are synopses from IMDb that are more often than not, if not always, user submitted. So there might be some very odd types of synopsis that maybe doesn't give us the most accurate outlook on the actual film itself. So keep that in mind. I think I'm ready, though. I'm ready for my three films from the same Spanish filmmaker that do not have quotes.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. We will see where this episode takes us.
Here
we're
going to
kick it off in the year 1973.
Okay.
Yep.
Spain.
And your IMDb plot description reads as follows. A high-class escort witnesses a her new neighbor.
Okay.
Trying to dispose of his wife's corpse. The husband then forces her to help him get rid of the body, and an unexpected relationship develops.
Oh, okay. So a 1973, a high-class escort witnesses her neighbor disposing of his wife's body. He then forces this escort to help him dispose of the body, and in doing so, they develop some kind of romance or relationship.
Yeah, like, look at us. This is just like us, huh?
We're working together. I've always wanted a strong man to help me bury a body.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Okay.
I'm interested in seeing that.
All right, next.
Your next one, funny enough, is also going to be from 1973.
Okay.
So both of these are from the same year, from the same filmmaker. And the synopsis
do you know which one, or do you, don't tell me, but are you able to find out which one came first?
Yeah, I could find that.
Okay,
really fast.
I want to be, I want that to be the bonus game for this episode. Since we don't have quote time, after I do the IMDb ranking, I'll also try to figure out which one of these two came first.
Sounds like a fun challenge.
Okay.
Okay, so the second one here from 1973 reads as follows. A nurse tries to bring her own style of relief to miserable people.
What?
Or ones condemned to die. Her identity is a mystery, and she may not be quite what she seems.
Okay, so 1973, a nurse tries to bring her own style of relief to patients.
To miserable people.
To miserable people.
Or ones condemned to die.
Okay, so one's basically like an end-of-life type thing. And then something happened, I can't remember, but she might not be what she seems. I remember that part. What was the part in between?
Her identity is a mystery, may not be quite what she seems.
Okay, so this mysterious nurse has her own style of relief. Take that as you will.
To miserable people or ones condemned to die.
Okay, so maybe she's like a Kevorkian type thing. Okay. Also 1973.
Yep.
Also seems like it deals with death and maybe looking at death with a tongue-in-cheek style, possibly. I'm inferring a lot here, but I'm getting this vibe at least. Okay, third one.
All right, your third and final film comes from the year 1980.
Okay, so it's a bit later.
The synopsis for this one reads as follows. A bank employee, terrified by the crime wave in Madrid during the democratic transition, must cope despite numerous bad news.
Okay, so 1980, a bank employee, you said terrified by the
crime wave in Madrid the democratic transition.
Terrified by the crime wave during the democratic transition must cope with terrible news.
Must cope despite numerous bad news.
Okay. 1980. That's interesting. So not only is this bank teller struggling with crime.
Yeah.
I'm guessing bank robberies and stuff. But also they're also just getting bad news all the time.
Hey, my cat died yesterday.
Yeah, well, the bank was robbed again. Okay, so I'm just trying to cope.
Hey, my leg broke.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry about that. That's unfortunate. But are you here to rob the bank because it just happened?
I defaulted on my loan, and now I'm going to lose the farm.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. That actually is kind of terrible. we would help you if we weren't just robbed.
This is just what the day's like.
Just this one day. That's customer
one
for
day.
Customer.
Just bad news.
1980. Okay.
Numerous bad news.
So this is pretty, I'm not gonna say straightforward, but this is not as convoluted as some of the other synopsis as we've had. The first one was 1973.
Yeah.
And it was about, is this the one that was the escort, the high profile escort witnesses mm-hmm. her neighbor burying his wife's dead body. And the neighbor forces this escort to help him with this process. And in doing so, they develop some kind of relationship.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other one in 1973 was about a mysterious nurse who has her own way of relieving those who are in a desperate situation or near the end of their life. And she may not be what she seems.
Yes.
And then there is the 1980 film that a bank teller struggles with the crime wave that takes place during the Democratic changeover and also has to cope with constant bad news.
Yeah.
Roughly is what it is. Okay. Okay. Reiterating the nurse one, it kind of makes me wonder if this isn't like an Angel of Death type situation. Maybe like a paranormal bent. Okay, I'm ready for the titles, please.
Okay, the first title I'm going to give you is Afraid to Go Out at Night.
Afraid to Go Out at Night.
Yep.
Afraid to Go Out. Now, I have to assume that these are maybe roughly or wrongfully translated, at least potentially. Afraid to Go Out at Night. Or that these are like just American titles, English titles for a more accurately titled Spanish version. Okay. Afraid to Go Out at Night. Afraid to Go Out at Night. Is that the crime wave that's taking, maybe at night Madrid goes nuts with crime? And then this bank teller has to deal with that, as well as just listening to everyone's bad news during the day. Or is this the escort? Because night and escort. I don't feel like this is the nurse thing, at least not yet. But I'm going to go ahead and reserve that thought until I hear the next two. Go ahead.
Okay. Your second title is going to be No One Heard the Scream.
Oh, I like that a lot. No One Heard the Scream. It definitely sounds like a novel, like the title of a novel. No mm-hmm. One Heard the Scream. That more so feels like the escort one. Maybe. No One Heard the Scream. I mean, because if this nurse, this mysterious nurse, is relieving those at the end of their life, I doubt they would be screaming. I feel like the patients or the people who are in, you know, bad situations, I feel like they would want this, right? Well, yeah, I guess it depends on how we're actually relieving them, right? Yeah. And then no one heard the scream. The first one was Afraid to Go Out at Night, and this one's No One Heard the Scream. Both of those feel like they're the escort one. Okay, third one.
Your final title is going to be Murder in a Blue World.
Jesus, Murder in a Blue World. Maybe blue, they mean like depressed. Like a sad world. So maybe this is the bank teller one. That the bank teller's world is blue. And then they also have to deal with the fact that they witnessed or are dealing with a murder. So it's like, how bad is a murder in a blue world? You know, it's just more of the same, depressing news, maybe. Murder in a blue world. I don't think the mysterious nurse is murdering people. I don't feel like that's a murder. Now, clearly the escort who witnesses her neighbor burying the dead body, I don't think you said in the synopsis, but I assume that the husband murdered his wife, that she didn't just die of natural causes and he's trying to like bury her mysteriously. I'm going to assume that he offed her.
I think that's the implication, but it doesn't say that.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think, like, if she died of natural causes, there's no reason to, like, hide her body. Murder in a Blue World. But it doesn't say that movie sounds kind of, like I said, like, upbeat, because, you know, these two characters who meet in a weird circumstance end up forming some kind of relationship. So I don't feel like that one's in a blue world. But is it afraid to go out at night, or is it no one heard? Is it no one heard them scream?
The scream.
The scream. No one heard the scream. A solitary scream. Afraid to go out at night. Okay. I'm going to say that afraid to go out at night might be either like a poorly translated or just a bad English version of a better title. That the other two are more accurately representing what the original titles were meant to be. And that, of course, that assumes that even the original titles weren't in English, I guess. maybe they were, and he's just a Spanish filmmaker. Okay, so with that being said, I'm going to say that Afraid to Go Out at Night, no one heard the scream. And what was the last one again?
Murder in a Blue World.
Murder in a Blue World. Okay. I'm going to say that No One Heard the Scream is the 1973 high-profile escort witnesses her neighbor burying his husband's, or the husband, his wife, there we go. And the husband drags her into the process and they form some kind of relationship. I'm going to say that that is No One Heard the Scream. The other 1973 movie, which is The Mysterious Nurse, has her special way of relieving those that are near the end of their life or suffering, but also may not be who she seems. I'm going to say that one is Afraid to Go Out at Night. And that leaves the 1980 film of the bank teller who has to deal with the crime wave in Madrid that takes place during the democratic changeover, while also handling constant bad news, as Murder in a Blue World. Did I get any of those correct?
You did. In this episode, you, in fact, got one out of three correct.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is, so we're back to this. This is it for us recording. This has been a while.
Classic.
Yeah. The classic, wonder as it is. I still feel like Murder in a Blue World, the blue world is in reference to the bad news that this teller's facing, and maybe even, you know, the crime that's taking place in Madrid at the time. And that something bad happens on top of all this other bad. So it's asking the question, like, how bad is the murder whenever the world is blue? So I'm going to stick with the 1980 film being Murder in a Blue World, which means I'll switch the two 73 films. So that means that what I should have said initially with the knight and the prostitute thing, or the escort, is that the Afraid to Go Out at Night will be the escort witnessing the neighbor burying his wife. And then No One Heard the Scream will be the mysterious nurse relieving dying patients. Did I get all three now?
No.
Oh, damn. Okay. Let me know.
Yep. So the first one from 1973 is No One Heard the Scream, with the high class escort witnessing the neighbor disposing of his wife's body.
I mean, it makes sense.
Honestly, like, none of these three have, like, any information about them, at least readily available on IMDb. So the only thing that I can tell you about this film, No One Heard the Scream, is that there is a DVD of this movie.
Okay.
And I do own it. I actually just got it not that long ago. I got two movies from this filmmaker, actually. This one, and then he has one called Cannibal Man And I have not gotten to either of them yet, but I do own them. And No One Heard the Scream is also currently, at the time of recording this, streaming on Shudder. And it is free with ads on Tubi.
Okay.
The other movie from 1973 is Murder in a Blue World.
Damn.
With the nurse. And
so she was. So they did call it a murder, even though it sounds like she's doing them a service.
At least in the title. I did see that this one, it's not streaming anywhere. It's not available to rent, but I did look it up, and it is currently in full in HD on YouTube.
Oh, damn.
So it is able to be found on there in full. And the only thing that I could also find about it is apparently the movie is heavily inspired by the, at the time, band in Spain, A Clockwork Orange.
Okay.
So that's like everything that I was able to find about it was talking, like comparing it to A Clockwork Orange. And I guess it's similar in some fashion. Don't know. And then the final film from 1980 is Afraid to Go Out at Night.
Damn it.
A bank employee terrified by the crime wave in Madrid.
So it was like a night crime thing.
I suppose, unless it's just a weird translation.
Bad title. Yeah.
Yeah, and that one on IMDb, the title is actually in Spanish, but Letterboxd had an English version of the title, and that's where Afraid to Go Out at Night came from.
Okay.
I got that title from Letterboxd. And yeah, unfortunately, none of these three had any quotes, because I assume... the movie with the most IMDb ratings has 528 ratings.
Oh, okay.
That's the most out of these three.
Maybe these are some hidden gems then.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, what do you think of the rankings, the star rankings?
Rank. Okay. So these are all from the same filmmaker, which is interesting because it usually another, you know, examples we can kind of, or at least I can maybe try to discern where things fall based off of the filmmaker. Right. And, if they're an unheard of filmmaker or if they've done other work, that type of thing. But this one, they're all three from the same, so I can't really do that here. Okay, I'm going to say these are probably like right in the middle, like the fives. These are all probably fives. I'm just going to say that. Either, you know, from 5.0 to 5.9. I'm just going to say just that's the range. The fact that one of them is on Shudder is probably the one that has the most rating, but does that mean that it's the highest? I don't know. Did the filmmaker get worse or better as time went on? Okay, so let's go with, remind me one more time. Was it the nurse one or was it the escort one that was on Shudder?
The escort one.
Okay. And is the nurse one also a horror
film?
Also
the DVD. Good question, actually.
Pause for more information. Pause for more information.
Murder in the Blue World. It is listed on IMDb as crime, drama, horror, sci-fi, thriller.
Okay, so we've got two horror films, potentially horror films at least.
No One Heard the Scream, dark comedy, horror, thriller.
Yeah.
And then the other one...
Afraid to Go Out at Night?
Yep.
Sounds more like a drama.
Afraid to Go Out at Night is under comedy, crime, drama.
Comedy. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to say that... is this Afraid to Go Out at Night?
Afraid to Go Out at Night, yeah.
So there's like a weird caricature of a bad guy, and then there's two illustrated... people who are either drunk or I don't know what's going on here. And then there's an image of a street with Streetlights. There's really not much to go off of. This is the cover art of this is really strange. Or is it the poster? That's the poster, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you showed me the cover art for No One Heard the Scream.
DVD. No One Heard the Scream. Yeah. It's just.
And it's like two people. One has a gun and it looks like they're in front of either a broken window or something is radiating from their head. And then below that is a female, and she's screaming and all in yellow. And it looks like she's in front of a menorah or something.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yep.
Yeah. And we don't have the artwork for the other film.
Well, IMDb does.
Oh, IMDb does. Okay, here we go.
I don't know if describing poster artwork is our
it's the
most
best
popular
audio.
Segment.
It's
but
the best audio we can do. Okay, so this is
just.
Oh my gosh! So wait, what movie is this again?
This one is the Murder in a Blue World.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Murder in a Blue. So let me say it one more time. It's very artistic. So there's a bunch of people and they're all illustrated and there's like, I don't know what's going on. There's like, everyone's wearing like very, interstellar looking clothing. This definitely seems 70s for sure. Like this is 70s just... acid trip is what this looks like. I'm not even going to describe it any more than that. That just looks interesting.
Yeah, I don't
conceptually.
Yeah,
though,
I don't think this is one of our most popular segments.
No, I mean, I don't mind. People can go.
I don't mind either. Up.
But I'm just saying, as far as those three posters, I think I like that one the most, though.
Oh yeah,
A Murder in a Blue World. Okay, so where were we at?
You were trying to figure out the ranking.
Okay, I'm back. So the ranking here, I still say that. The Shudder one might be the one that's viewed the most. And you said that was No One Heard the Scream.
That is correct.
So, and the fact that like that one and the Murder in a Blue World is that they're both horror, or at least horror adjacent maybe. And then the third one, Afraid to Go Out at Night, is just kind of a drama. It also says comedy, which is weird. But are people going to get Spanish humor? I don't know. Maybe. If assuming that most of these rankings are English-based. Okay. So, I'm going to go ahead and say that his later film, or I assume this is a he. Did we say who this was yet?
It is a man. His name, which I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce correctly, is... Eloy de la Iglesia.
Okay. Eloy.
E-L-O-Y.
Eloy. So I'm going to go ahead and say that his later work is maybe... I'm going to say that he was mostly popular in the beginning of his career. So I'm going to say that Afraid to Go Out at Night is the lowest ranking one of the three. And then I will say that Murder in a Blue World is second, because I think I'm going to assume that No One Heard the Scream is a more well-rounded movie, with it being a horror comedy. And also, I think more people have seen it based off of the Shudder connection. So first is No One Heard the Scream, second is Murder in a Blue World, and third is Afraid to Go Out at Night.
So the highest rated one out of these three, with 435 ratings on IMDb at the time of recording, with a 6.2 out of 10, is No One Heard the Scream, which is the one that's on Shudder.
Okay.
Second, with a whopping 19 IMDb ratings and a score of 6.1 stars, is Afraid to Go Out at Night.
Damn. Okay.
And last place with 528 ratings and a 5.7 is Murder in a Blue World.
All right. Well,
that's crazy, though, that Afraid to Go Out at Night only has 19 IMDb ratings.
That is wild. That's definitely the lowest we've had. I think even Begotten. Bejeweled?
Begotten.
had more than that, right?
A few thousand, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And it's a very strange flick. All right, so everyone needs to go out and watch...
That one is at least from a director who, like, afterwards directed a more notable movie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, these might be notable. Just, hey, Spain, email us. WWTCAPod@protonmail.com.
Yeah, we don't yet have... We've never gotten a download in Spain yet, but if you know someone, hook them up.
Yeah, your Spanish friends need to write in about these three films.
Yeah, is Eloy de la Iglesia
notable?
A beloved filmmaker over there, or is it like, who is that?
Yeah,
like much like here.
Okay, so now I want to try to guess. This is basically going to be a coin flip, but I want to try to do this with some intelligence. Or even if failed logic is a thing with that, I need to figure out which of the two 73 films came first. Did he go with prostitute first, or did he go with nurse first? They both kind of deal with death in a way. They both are horror. So I'm going to go with, I don't feel like anything. I keep arguing it in my own head. Every time I try to make a decision here, I go the other way. So I feel like the more fun sounding, at least the more fun sounding film with the prostitute and the husband burying the wife, and then they fall for each other over this absurd circumstance. I feel like maybe that one was first, and then he went a little darker after that. And then basically as his filmography went on, I feel like he went darker. So I'm going to say that No One Heard the Scream is before Murder in a Blue World.
According to IMDb, you would be correct.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I got something out of this episode, at least.
I guess.
Well, I got one the first round on the titles, but... okay. I think we need to discuss how it is the nurse relieves these patients or these people that are near death. What is the special, unique way? Because I really, really want to know.
Evidently murder.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but like, what's the tactic? Is it just like, is it just slashing? Is it just, you know, is it strangulation? Is it, like, because it says that she has a special way. So I'm going to assume that there's like
her own style.
Yeah, exactly. Her own style behind how she does this. Suffocation under a pillow is always the go-to in a hospital, right? Like that's kind of like the main thing. But if they're a nurse, are they maybe able to at least pretend to be a nurse and then administer drugs? You know, is it kind of like a Kevorkian style thing where like they're, you know, injecting tranquilizers into veins, or is it something more gruesome? Why are they mysterious? Why are they
her identity is a mystery.
Right.
And she may not be quite what she seems. Maybe she's a vampire.
Well, I'm assuming that she's not really a nurse.
Oh.
That's what I'm assuming.
Probably not.
that she gets into these hospitals. So let's figure out. Let's go ahead and write the first kill. So we get introduced to the. Did she have a character name?
Let's just say Betty.
Okay, Nurse Betty. So Betty, we establish that we're in a hospital.
Very Spanish name.
Yeah, Betty. I see us in a hospital. I see a man lying in like a ICU sort of situation, right? There's a bunch of things keeping him alive, but if it wasn't for those things, he might not be alive, or at least severely suffering. I kind of see her walking in. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know how she kills these people. That's what we got to figure out. Like, how does she just, because I don't think she just simply unplugs the machines.
She's like, it does like a musical and she's doing a dance. Oh, she like within the dance, she just like kicks the cord out of the wall.
Did this say that, was this one also a comedy? I know the other two mentioned comedy, but did this one also have that in there?
It, in fact, crime, drama, horror, sci-fi, thriller.
Oh, sci-fi. There's sci-fi in here. Don't forget that. Okay. So maybe she, is this like the polar opposite of Patrick, where she uses telekinesis?
She uses telekinesis and like explodes their heads from inside of their cranium.
Oh my god, that'd be insane.
Like the brain, like she makes their brains explode inside of their heads.
Does it explode violently, or are there just no symptoms of that until they do like some like autopsy? Is it like a scanner's type explosion, or is it just like...
No, I think it's all internal.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so like blood comes out of their mouths, their nose, their eyes, and their ears. And
they're kind of shaking a little bit, like
their eyes just completely roll up into their fucking heads.
Yes. Okay, I'm loving this. So she has to come in and she has to be within like eyesight. Like, you know, she can't just like remotely from another room do this. She has to be in the room. Okay. Okay, so then,
and it has to do the carry, whatever she's doing, the telekinesis. Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah. Okay. So our first scene then. Our first scene is there's a guy in an ICU type bed type situation. Right. And he's so, okay. Also answer this. Because the synopsis strictly says reliefs.
Yeah.
But it's also called murder. At least in the title. So I think there's a perspective issue here. Does she think she's doing a service to these people?
Do you think they're asking for it?
Like they're in
pain?
They're asking for it. No,
you think they're like pain and they're like...
Yeah, I think so.
Like make the pain go away.
Right. And
just
like,
make the pain go away.
And like they want... Like they don't know that she has this ability, right? They just... are suffering.
Nurse Betty.
And they want like some kind of lethal injection type situation, right? Or like overdose situation. But so that's what they're asking for. But what they don't know,
I've been in this bed sun up to sundown for the last month and a half. Every day I watch the nurses come in, I watch the doctors go out. They pick and they prod, they do this and they do that. I'm in pain, Betty. Please put me down.
Sir, you actually sound kind of strong for how long that speech was. Are you sure
I'm in pain.
All right. And then she just like looks at them intensely and then, yeah.
Ching, 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 ching.
Yeah. Okay. So I think she thinks she is doing a service to these people. I like the idea that they do ask for it, but I also like the idea that maybe, they're unable to ask for it, and she almost like a wounded animal. She thinks she's doing something good, rather or not.
Yeah, she gets carried away where it's like somebody comes in and they just have like a broken finger, and they're like, ah, "It fucking hurts," and she just kills them.
It's like a monkey's a monkey pulse situation where they're like, "Oh god, I wish this never happened. I wish this would be over. I hate this so much." And she's like, "Okay, well, you asked for it. Yeah, give to the magi." Yeah. Okay, I like that. So let's go ahead and predict then the first scene, and we'll have to try to watch this movie if possible.
It's going to have that monologue given by the man in the full body cast who like can perfectly deliver a monologue.
What, so like he's like a burn victim or whatever, and he's just like in, you know, like 90% of his body was like, you know, destroyed.
Yeah, it's just like his eyes and his lips like sticking out the thick of the plaster.
Yeah, because we have to see those eyes roll back. We have to see the blood. Oh, that'd be awesome though. If, yeah, like that's like the scene, right? And like you mentioned, whenever she does her brain scrambling or whatever we want to call it, and like the blood comes out of the eyes and the nose and the, you know, the mouth, if all of a sudden like this head cast goes from like white to like just starts to turn red,
Oh yeah, and it like from the top it starts to crack. It doesn't like split open, but it like cracks.
Or maybe down. It like steams. Like it's like there's like some kind of like heat. Like maybe she's like microwaving their brains with her mind.
Ding!
Ding at the end. It's Nurse Betty Crocker. Oh my god, she's here to cook me alive. I like it. Okay, so the first scene is, like I said, the guy in an ICU situation. Betty comes in. There's this this monologue, this really emotional monologue delivery by this guy who can barely function, let alone talk. And what is her response after hearing that? Does she just look at him? Like, when do we hear her talk? Is it this scene or later on? This is opening. This is establishing character and everything. So. That's what I'm asking. Like, do we actually hear her talk, or do we just see her do something and we're not quite sure what's happening yet, and we discover later on about what's taking place? Like, we just see him, like, shake, like he's having a seizure slightly, and we see, like, steam coming off, you know, out of the cast, and all of a sudden we see his eyes roll back, and then the cast just starts to, like, split and turn red. And we're just like, what the fuck did she do?
Do you think she tries to, like, when he's saying that stuff and she kind of tries to calm him down, where she's like, oh, I can't give you more pain medication than you're already on.
Okay,
like,
I'm not.
And he's like, oh, I'm in pain, Betty. and she's like, I can't, like, I'm so sorry. I wish I could do more, but I can't. I can't do anything else for you right now. And
so
then,
kind of what I feel like you're doing is that, like, you're starting her off in that she's hesitant to use these abilities, but then as the movie goes on, she does become more, because she thinks she really is doing something good. So as the movie progresses, she becomes more and more relaxed in using these abilities. So this first one, she's very much like, you know, there's nothing I can do. You're at maximum, you know, morphine or whatever. And then he because he can't move, so he side eyes as much as he can, looking at her, and he's a close up shot on like the eyes, you know, he's like looking to the right as she's standing next to him, and he's like, I don't care what you have to do, do it, you know.
Do you know how it feels to have 90% of your body in third degree burns, Betty?
Sir, you're able to talk really well. Are you sure that you're actually suffering?
You know how it feels to have 20 bones in your back and 13 in your arms poking.
Sir, I mean, it really seems like you're not, you know, I mean, I understand that you're in pain, but it sounds like you have a lot of life here still.
Betty, I'm in hell.
Save me from hell, Betty. Save me from this blue world.
I don't want this opening scene guy to die. I want him to, like, be in the whole movie.
Oh god, so maybe she just, like, maybe she comes back, so maybe she doesn't kill him right away.
What if she what if she, like, he's in, like, all this pain and she's like, I can't help you, but she keeps, like, wheeling in, like, more people who are, like, sick or in pain, and she kills them, and he, like, gives him life juice. And so she kills them, and our co-lead in the movie, the sick man in the full body cast, like, every time she kills someone else, he, like, he gains the fucking power from them dying.
There's, like, some kind of transfer?
Yeah. And so she keeps, like, she keeps killing other people. She, like, wheels in people who aren't as bad off as him, and she kills them, and he has, like, this spastic movement, and he's, like, able to start moving, like, more parts of his body as it goes on.
Oh, she's, like, healing him in some way.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'm fine with that, but I think she has to confront this guy in some way. So I think that, like...
She's like, I can't keep doing this. And he's like, yes, you can, Betty. She's like, all right.
Well, what if, like, this guy did something horrible, right? And that's kind of what caused him to get in the position that he's in now with these wounds. And she doesn't know that. She thinks
like
she's...
He had tried to burn down...
an orphanage.
His house with like his family inside of it while they were asleep.
Exactly, yeah.
But the fire department showed up and they like pulled him out and his family died, but they like pulled him out and he was saved.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. She just knows that he's a burn victim. And she thinks that she's helping him by using her ability to transfer, she transfers life to him, but in doing so, it kills these other people.
I could feel the flames, Betty. I could feel the flames.
I need more. I need more patience. And then, but what I'm saying though is that like towards the end of the film, whenever he can now move, the cast has come off, his skin is healing like way faster than what anyone had predicted or whatever. She then realizes the truth, and then and also realizes that he's a horrible man. He's a bad man who should have died. And she's literally bringing him back from the brink, and she shouldn't be. So I think she has to face that reality and then decide, do I kill him? Because the other part about this is that I think it'd be fun if she can't control who or like where that life force transfers to, right? It's like a proximity thing. And so she has to bring these other people into his room, right? And then he is the one that receives this stuff. But if she just kills him, it's going to go to whoever's the most closest and also weakest in need of this. And so maybe she's like, I don't know if I should keep doing this. I don't know if I should just let, fate happen. I need to stop this. I need to stop what I'm doing. Like she's having this really like this struggle about this because it seems like what she's doing is good to her, but she just realized that like it's actually whenever you mess with life and you mess with death, kind of like Final Destination or whatever, like things like other bad things happen. So she could kill him with her ability, yes, but that could mean that she starts this other problem somewhere else. Whenever, she should just let things happen.
Yeah, I like how she doesn't have any moral issue with just killing these innocent people that she just wheels in there to get better.
So I think it goes back to like the idea that like she thinks she's doing good and these other people that she's wheeling in are truly like right on the edge of life. Like, they're like two heartbeats away from just naturally dying. But she knows that if she's the one who takes their life force,
it can go to that guy.
It can go to him. Right. So
what if their deaths are like really awful too? Like they are like on the brink of dying and she starts to do it. They're like, oh God, oh God, oh God, it hurts. What?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like there is a lot of suffering. I mean, if we stick with the idea of like her like exploding their brain, I think that would be an intense thing right before it happened. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then the end of this movie is she has to deal with this guy. So does she use her powers or does she do something else?
She can't use it because now he has like the power of the minds of all of those people that had died like within himself.
So he's like immune
to it? They're able to like fight off
because
all of their minds together are more powerful than one.
So then how does she decide to kill him? Because that's going to be anticlimactic if we just like, stab him in the chest or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like, well, there we go.
That's it.
It's a good question.
Yeah, right. So I think your idea hurts us in the sense that he gains some kind of immunity. I think the only thing he gains is just life. I think that's it. Like, there's no other transference to him other than that. So I think that she has to decide.
She burns him alive in the hospital.
Okay.
And so it's like the full circle arc because
she
now
sends him back to where he was.
He gets burnt alive, but now instead of him trying to like kill his family, now he doesn't want to be burnt, and so he's trying to survive.
But also too, the other deaths that happened, they couldn't pin this on her.
Mm-hmm.
Because like how would they know that she has this ability to fucking explode minds? But this is the one murder in the blue world.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. I'm in. I like this. And his name is Richard because he's a dick. I just wanted to say that.
I could feel the flames, Betty. I could feel the flames. It burns.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like those. I kind of like that. This probably has nothing at all to do with what we just talked about as far as the actual movie.
yeah, but it's probably a lot better. But that also adds the sci-fi element to it.
That's what I'm saying, definitely, yeah.
Sci-fi-ish. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like that idea.
There has to be some kind of sci-fi element if they mention sci-fi. And the only thing I can think of sci-fi-wise would be some kind of telekinesis. Or maybe she's like a spirit, you know, whatever, some kind of entity. But yeah, I like our version of Murder in a Blue World. And we're gonna call it that. And we're gonna make our own movie. same general idea plot-wise. So now I'm curious to actually watch that. And see, I know we didn't get anything accurate, but I'm curious how close we are on some elements. Okay.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of curious. I'd like to watch the trailer at least. I think I'd like to see what the trailer looks like.
Well, maybe that's what we can do after this. We can watch the trailer and then
and then decide next episode. If we feel like watching the rest.
Yeah, next episode we'll discuss whether or not it's actually worth watching. All right. Well, that was fun. I can't wait to see Betty. Melt people's minds with
the movie's called Mind Bomb.
Mind Bomb. Mind curl wave.
No.
I just like the idea of them shaking and then you hear ding and then it cuts to like the break room of like the nurse's station and like someone opens the microwave and there's like a bag of popcorn.
Yeah. It's like a fucking burrito.
Okay. What was that called again?